that you're cutting with a very sharp edge. If you have a saw, when it's going to touch, when the edge is going to touch the simanim, the connivation, rips the flesh around the connivation, that's not a problem. But if it's going to rip the connivation, the windpipe and the food pipe, that's not a valid form of shkita. So that's not good. Because it's like choking the animal. So the Mishnah mentions that a saw is no good, or anything that's like a saw. So the Gemara has on the last line, on that Yud Zayin and Aleph, Abua de Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was Tamir Chacham who lived in Babel, and Shmuel's father also lived in Babel. Shmuel's father was a Talmud Chacham. Every so often the Gemara quotes the father of Shmuel. Sometimes Shmuel disagrees with his father, sometimes he agrees with his father. But the Gemara says, Abua de Shmuel, he knew that the big Rabbanim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. So he sent them a family. They were businessmen who were going to Eretz Yisrael. Pogam b'shodar. He took a knife that they could use for shechita, and he made a pegim in the knife, and he sent, Rashi says, he did it, two or three times. He sent a knife with different pegimas to Eretz Yisrael to ask, would this pegim a pasal l'shechita or not? Sholchulei, so they sent it back. The answer was, if the nick and the knife, if the pegim and the knife is similar to a saw, that your fingernail will get caught on both sides, so that's a pegim, the fasol is the shechita. And the Gemara is going to explain why is that so. Tana Rabbana, we have a verset that starts on the top of the time and the base. Sakin sheish ba pegim is harbei. If it has several pegimas, it has several nicks in the sharp side of the knife, titum kemigira has the same status like a saw, that you cannot check with a saw because it's going to rip. Shema ela pegima achas, what if the knife only has one pegima? So then it says it depends. If it's ogeris, Rashi says, is a biblical word, oge bakaitz lachmo. Rashi puts a different pasuk in Mishnah. Legor means to store up. So ogeris means, if you have a nick in the knife, that if you move your fingernail along the edge of the knife, fingernail will get caught over there. So if it'll get caught, psula, then it'll make an avela, because it's going to rip. But if it's mesuchseches, if there's a begimah, but they sharpened it, they made it sharp, so the fingernail will not get caught, just your fingernail will go up and down, but it won't get caught, because they smoothed it out. There is no jagged edge over there.
You know what? Children do nowadays also have a longer nail and they rather than caught the knife.
Right. That's what the Gemara says. That's how you're supposed to check. Right. So the Gemara wants to know. Ogeris means a pegim on the knife where the fingernail is going to get caught. In Yiddish folklore, they tell the story of the Sheikhed, the fellow who learned El Cheshchita. And he went to the Rav to get Kabbalah. Kabbalah is like the smicha to be a rabbi, so Kabbalah is authorization that the sheikh knows the dinim and he knows how to shech properly. So the rabbi had a test and see if he knows the dinim. The rabbi asked him, what is ogeris? Ogeris means if you have a nick and a knife, that the fingernail will get caught. So he didn't know the answer, so he said, adavaks and amoy, and all the girls. So the Rav asked, so what's bogeris? That's bogeris means a girl lifted the age of 12 and a half. So he said, that's dried out figs. So he says, so what's grogeris? Grogeris is dried out figs. So he said, Rabbi, I'm just coming for a Kabbalah, for a shechita, I'm not coming for smicha. But that's not, you know, call it turn cook. So Yiddish talk board, that's when they say, bogeris. So the Gemara wants to know, the Brisa says, if there's only, if it has many pegimas, it has many pegimas in the knife, it's going to start ripping the siman of the connivation, and it's going to make it either an avail or a trefa. That's the question. If you have a nekev in the veshet, is it an avail or a trefa? So for sure, you're not allowed to eat it. It's also b'achila for sure. So the Gemara wants to know, hechidami ogeris, hechidami misuchsefes. What is the difference? The Brisa said if it's ogeris, it's psula. It'll make it in vela. If it's misuchseches, if it is smooth, the fingernail will move in a little bit, but it's not going to get caught. It's not going to be stuck. So what's the difference in description? Amar Rav Elazar, so the Amar explains Pshat in the Brisa, Ogeres means Mishtei Ruchas. If you have like a saw, so the teeth of the saw go like this, so the fingernail can get caught either on this side or on that side, in both directions. If you're going your fingernail like this, it'll get caught, it'll go like this, it'll get caught. It won't be able to move that. And Mesuchseches means it'll only get caught in one direction, it won't get caught in the other direction. In other words, you had, let's say, a jagged edge, and then you sharpened it, Rashi said. You were mashchiz the socket, and you made one side smooth, so on one side, the fingernail is not going to get caught. So the Gemara says, so what does it help if it's not on both sides? Why is it that if the fingernail will get caught on both directions, you're not allowed to shech with it? And if you did, it makes it in a veil or a trefa. Why? The Mursha Kama, Machlish, when you're cutting, it's going to weaken the. It's going to be cutting, it's going to be sensitive, that the cut and the veil are going to be sensitive. The Mursha Basra, and then when you come to the second place where it can get caught, that's going to rip it. Musha Basra Baza, when you push the knife by the second spot where it can get caught, so the con on the vesha will get caught and the knife will be ripping it won't be cutting it. So the Gemara says, Miroch achas nami, even if it only can get caught, the fingernail can only get caught in one direction, so what? Churvi de sakina maklish, when you start, you have a sharp knife when you're shechting, so the sharp knife is going to make that con on the vesha sensitive, it's already going to be in the middle of cutting, and then Mursha Baza, when it gets caught on the second spot, if you continue pushing with the knife, then it's going to rip the corner, rip the vation. And for the Gemara, we're talking, when the Grisa says, if it's Mesuchseches, it only has a place to get caught in one direction, we're talking, the Koyim HaReish of the Sakina. The pegim is at the edge of the knife. So the Gemara says, so what if it's at the edge of that? But you keep on fiddling back and forth. So you go back and forth. So true, in one direction, it won't catch, it won't rip the kind of the vision. But when you pull it back in the other direction, then it'll rip. So the Gemara says, so.
You can shech them one swing. You can make a sweep also one swing.
So that's what the Gemara says. You can shech them one swing if the knife is long enough. It has to be a long enough knife. Okay, it's a very tiny knife. Then you have to go back and forth quite a few times. But if it's a long enough knife, then you can shech the one swing. That's exactly what the Gemara answers. So the Gemara is self. What does it help that there's only a pegima in one end of the knife, this end of that end? So what? Ki ozla, when you push in one direction, machlusha, you weaken the condivation. It's in the middle of the process of being shech. And ki osa, when you come back, boza, then it's going to rip. And for the Gemara, we're talking about this case. Ki gon shahailach v'lo hevi. You only cut in one direction. You didn't have to cut. You didn't have to fiddle back and forth. That's the idea. That if you shecht with the sack and peguma, so the peguma is going to rip. It's going to rip, and it's going to rip the condivation. If it rips the flesh, that's not a problem. You can rip the flesh yourself with another knife. But if it's going to rip the condivation, then it's no good. The Gemara is going to even point out later in the hemshech. If the person is in the middle of shechting the condivation, even though, let's say it's a corner like this, a windpipe like this, and you're already halfway cut through, but if the so-called you didn't finish the shechita yet, if you make another hole anywhere in the corner, that can also make it in veil or a treif. You're in the middle of shechting the nation. So you cut, let's say, one quarter through, one third through, or halfway through, you're not finished yet. So even if you rip part of the condivation that is already geshachten, that part is already geshachten, that'll also make it a tray for an avail. That's the Gemara is going to be assuming like that on this summer. Oh, my Rav, so Rav says, Gimel Midas Pesachin, there are three categories of knives that have pegimas. If you have a knife that's ogeris, have a knife, ogeris means that the fingernail will get caught whether you go this direction or that direction. There's a pegima on both sides. Lo yishchak, you're not allowed to use such a knife, and even b'diyev, if mishochat, shchitas apsula, because the pegima is going to start ripping the corner of the vesha, so it'll be a treifah. If it's misuchseches, the knife is not so straight on the bottom, it goes up and down. But when it goes up and it goes down, there's no pigim, no place for the fingernail, no place for the condivation to get caught. Everything is smooth. It's not straight smooth, but it's up and down a little bit. So mesuch seches, l'chatchila lo yishchad bo. Again, Misilchaches lo yishchet bo lachatchila. Lachatchila should not shecht. Imshach ad shchitah sif sheh. Why is it lachatchila shouldn't shecht? So the Gemara said before, Misilchaches means it has to begin in one direction. It has to begin in one direction. So if you're going to be melech umevi, then you're going to make it an avela or a treifa. If you only push in one direction, you pull in one direction. So if it's in the right direction, it won't pass the shchita. But lachatchila, you're not allowed to use a sakin that has such a one direction of pegima, because you may make a mistake. Maybe push and pull in the both directions. So the lachatchila, you shouldn't use it at all.
So the character gave with the long knife, it falls into the category.
Right. So lachatchila, you shouldn't do it, but the yevada would be good. Lachatchila, you shouldn't do it.
But the yevada should in holich below heavy.
Only if only right. If he's melech umevi, then even b'di'evad it'll make a pigim. It'll be ripping the siman. So lachatchila shouldn't use a misuchseches because it has in one direction it will have a pigim. One direction will affect the conservation. What if you have a knife that's oil of the yoreid b'sakin? What if you have a knife it's not straight? You had pigimus, but then you sharpened all the pigimus. So everything goes sharp. It just goes up and down a little bit. So that's even what the lachatchila to shecht is. Shechet bo lachatchila. That's permissible lachatchila. It doesn't have to be straight as long as there's no pegimus at all. Only Rav Unabay, the Rav Nechemi, the Rav Ashi. So one of the rabbanim asks Rav Ashi, Amit lon mishmei de Rava. But you once told us in the name of Rava. Rashi points out over here that Rabin Rav Ashi were the end of the period of the Maroim. Rava was before. The Gemara says Rav Ashi never met Rava. The day that Rava died, Rav Ashi was born. So they never saw each other. So here the Gemara says Rav Ashi said over Mishmei de Rava, in the name of Rava. So Rashi writes the cloud. Whenever the Gemara says someone said that the name of someone means that he never met him in person, he never heard it. He heard it over in his name. The Gemara has a lot of times, Om Rav Yudah Om Rav, Om Rav Yudah Om Shmuel. When it says, Om Aramar means, Rav Yudah said, I heard from Rav. Rav Yudah said, I heard from Shmuel. When he said, Om Rav Yechanan Mishmei, the Rav Yishua Ben Hananiah or something, means that he never saw him. Rav Yechanan was an Amoyre, the other one was a Tana. He heard in his name, but he didn't hear directly from him. So they asked Rav Ashi, you once told us over the name of Rav, someone had told you, Mesuch Seches Psulah. Aye, but now you tell me we know the name of Rav. What does it say? Well, Tanya, we have a price, so we heard the name of Rav Misulcheches is Ksheira. So how can it be? It's a contradiction. So the Gemara answers, we just explained the answer before. Misulcheches means that there is a begin in one direction, the other direction it's not. So if you moiluch maybe if you shecht the knife fiddling back and forth, then it's going to be ripping the simanim. That is not good. But if it's only moiluch below maybe. And the pegima is at the edge of the knife, and it didn't really use the pegima part of the knife to rip the simanim. Then it's not a problem. Like Kasha, there's no contradiction between what Rav Ashi said in the name of Rava and what the Brisa says, or what according to the other version, what we heard in the name of Rosh. Rava, Kasha Halach Lehevi, Kasha Halach Lehevi. It depends. If he went in both directions, and there is a pegima in one direction, then it's going to rip the simanim. Amalei Ravache. The Rav Ashi, one of the Amoraim asked Rav Ashi, what's the din of Damya L'sasa, Mai? What if it's a little fuzzy on the edge of the knife? You put your finger there. It doesn't get caught, but if it goes up and down a little bit, it's smooth, the knife is smooth, but it's not straight. What's the din over there? So he said, that's kosher l'hatchil. Amalei, my yaivlok, who will give us me bisre? Yachlinan, please give me a piece of flesh that they shechted with such a knife, and I'll be happy to eat it. That's hati gomer. That's mutar lachatchila. That's what the Gemara called before oil of yorid maru. So the Gemara said that's mutar lachatchila. So that's when he says that. When the Hasidish movement first started, so the Misnagdim had a few tainus against the Hasidus. So they had tainus that they didn't daven bizman tefila. They used to daven after zman kriyashma, after zman tefila. And they claimed there was a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that says, "Anis filos lochashen eis ratzon." When is an eis ratzon? So they quoted a Yerushalmi is Mansha Tzadikim Mispal. When the Tzadikim daven, that's an Eisrot. You can ignore, and they interpreted the Yerushalmi as meaning, you can ignore Zman Kriyashma, ignore Zman Tfilah. If the Tzadikim are davening, that's good. So they had a public debate about this, and another Yehuda said there is no such Yerushalmi. Okay, so that was one issue that they were fighting about. Then they had another issue. Chassidim used to be dancing in the middle of davening and rolling on the ground and jumping, and they were all kinds of wild things. There were different issues. And then one of the issues was, the Chassidim were very machmer on sharpening the knife, Shal Shechita, and they made it so sharp that when you would put your fingernail on to check it, you would feel as if there was a pegim, because it was over sharp. And at that time, now everybody does like that. Now everybody uses Hasidic knives. But at that time, only the Hasidim used this super sharp knife, and the Misnagdim felt that it should be a problem. But later on they said, there's nothing wrong. If it's so sharp that it feels a little, you have the sensation as if there's a pegim, but it really isn't. The fingernail doesn't get caught. So that's not a pegim. Got a whole list of tainis against the Hasidim. So one of them was the Sakan Shal Shechita, the kal was too sharp. Sakan Shal Shechita was too sharp. So they finally, everybody adopted, everybody used this kind
of... Is there a discussion about the dullness or the sharpness of the knife without begimus? How sharp should it be? How dull can it be?
So the Gemara says
The
Gemara is going to have it later. Even if it takes all day long to fiddle back and forth because it's not so sharp. So the Gemara says it doesn't pose a problem. All day long can't be taken literally because the animal may drop dead in the middle. The animal has to be alive before you... If the animal dies before you finish the rive of the kana, the rive of the mesha, it's obviously it's no good. But the Gemara has a lush, and even if it takes you all day long to shave. The Gemara is talking about a dull knife. So preferable is it should be sharper. So I've seen it used super sharp, very sharp. So now everybody uses it like this.
Is there anything about why they use such a lush and halavai, give me such food and I'd like to eat it? Just say it's mutter.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know.
Is it any...
Hetagomer, absolutely nothing wrong.
Did they have a special chavivus for something that was resolved to Shiloh? Or?
Could be.
Maybe he's hungry.
So, one would give a heterah for others, but they themselves are personally were machmer. So it's an emphasis.
So he says, not only is it mut, I'll eat it also. Hetagomer, yeah, okay. Now the Gemara starts a new topic. Amr Rav Chisda, where do we know from Tanakh, a source in Tanakh, minayin lebedika sakim in ator? How do you know you're supposed to check the knife in advance? Shenemra, we have a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that says that Shaul HaMelech, after some war was over and they had a lot of behemoths, Shaul HaMelech said, ushchatetim bozeh v'achaltem. It sounds like Shaul HaMelech checked the knives and he gave the knife to the shochtim and he said, use this knife and you can go shecht with it because I checked the knife in advance and it's okay. You need a pasuk for that. Isn't it common sense like that? What do you need a mocker from Chumi, from Tanakh? Kev and Lechin Nekev. Trefa, if you're going to have a pegima and a knife, it's going to rip, it's going to make, if it rips the flesh, that's not a problem, but it's going to rip the kona, rip the veshed, it's going to rip the veshed, and the kubas of veshed makes it a trefa or an avail. That's a shayla. So the Gemara says, of course you have to check the knife. Kim the chinakev, kim the chinikev, treifa. If the knife will rip a hole into the veshed. The knife is cutting, but it's also going to rip a hole in the veshed. It'll be a treifa. So of course, buy a bedika. Of course you have to be bodik in the veshed. Not going to be bodik in the veshed. Maybe a treifa. So what do you need a pasuk to teach you this idea? Common sense dictates. You have to be bodik. And for the Gemara name, the chacham karmina. We're learning out of the pasuk, minayin. The bedika sakin ben ator, we didn't know from Tanakh, you have to be boidik, you have to show the knife. The shochet knows how to check the knife. How do you see from Tanakh? You have to show it to the local Orthodox rabbi, he should check the challah. Where is the mocker for that? So the mocker is that Shaul HaMelech was the biggest Talmud Chacham on that occasion after the war was over. He was the biggest Talmud Chacham on the location. And he checked the knife and he said, really? You're learning out a din d'oraisa from that pasuk? Pasuk in Shmuel is teaching us that you have to show the sakin to the Talmud Chacham. How can that be that that's a din d'oraisa? Because the Gemara says, minayin lebedika sakin min haTorah. Where does it say in Tanakh that there's a requirement? Now we're reinterpreting the question. Not how do you know you have to be bedik tonight. How do you know you have to show the knife to the Talmid Chacham that he should be biting the knife on your behalf? So the Gemara says, that's not a din d'oraisa. It's only it's not a din in Hilchos Shechita. It's not a din d'oraisa. The Chachamim introduced, you should show kavod to the Rabbanim, to the local rabbi. You should show him the knife, he should check it. So how you tell me that the B'dika Sakam in Atar, have the Gemara, you're right. The whole requirement is only with the Rabbanim. To us, must be Alma. The pasuk that we quoted from Shmuel Aleph, chapter Yudalei, that's only an asmachta. Rabbi Yechonon was, Rabbi Chisda said, where is the Ramakim B'dika Sakam in Atar? He's implying as if it's a din min Atar. Gemara says it's an exaggeration. It's not min Atar, it's only with the Rabbanim. So Kvadu Shel Chacham, the Chachamim introduced that you should show it to the, show the Chalaf to the Talmid Chacham before you start Shech. So now the Gemara wants to know, how exactly is either the Rabbi or the Shech, and how are they supposed to be Boidik Nisak? What are they supposed to do? So the Gemara says, Bimai Rava, in Eretz Yisrael, the practice was, Bot Gulei Bishimsha. They would hold the knife, when the sun was shining, they would hold the knife, and how would they check? So Rashi, I think, has two pshatim over here. One pshat is they would look at the shade, at the shadow that was caused, whether you can detect a pigim on the shadow or not. And the other pshat I think Rashi has is no. They would hold it in the sunlight, and they would look at the knife, not look at the shadow. They would look at the knife to see, can you detect any pigim? So in Eretz Yisrael, that was the practice. Now, Hardor was a Sinian bubble, Sur and Agor, several famous cities. So Ben Ardo and Bavil, both Golei B'mayim, they used to check it with water. What does that mean? So also the different ways to learn. So one pshat Rashi has is, they would take the knife with the sharp part, they would have a bucket of water, and they would pull the knife like this. So if there are pigimas on either side of the knife, there would be a wave in the water, in the opposite, there would be a ripple in the other direction, like this. If there's no pigimas, so you're going to see, there aren't going to be any ripples on the side. That's one pshat. And Rashi has another pshat, but Kalev and Maya, they wouldn't hold the knife with the sharp part down and put it in the water. No, they'd hold the knife with the sharp part up and start to pour a little water, droplets of water, to see if it's going to roll down on the sharp side of the knife. If you have a very, very sharp knife, it's not shayach, you have to have a blunt knife. If the knife doesn't have any thickness to it, how can the water roll on it? So, but they're talking about a knife that's not so sharp. The knives are not so sharp. So it was the thickness of the knife. So if the water will roll all the way straight down and it won't be diverted to the side, then it's a simon that there are no pigimas. So there are different ways in Eretz Yisrael. They used to check by looking in the sun somehow. And in Ardor, they used to check with water, whatever that means.
So they used to have sharper knives in Eretz Yisrael than in Ardor?
I don't know. In the days of the Chassidim, they had very much.
No, but I'm talking about maybe.
Now we have much.
Maybe in Eretz Yisrael, because of the way they checked, they didn't use for Nardor. You need the blunt knife in order for your checking to be good.
Yes.
But in Eretz Yisrael, you didn't need that.
Could be. That's what it's assuming.
I don't know.
That could be.
Could it be that they're trying to come up with the best technique? And let's say today, if we had an optical scanner that could tell us something, that would be.
But that was the best technique. That's what you got.
Say it's too much.
Okay. So then the Gemara says what we do. Not yet, let's see. Rav Sheish is Bodakle Bereish Lishmi. He used to stick his tongue out. He used to go like this on the edge. Not that it cut off his tongue, on the side of the knife, to see if he can discern, can he feel with his tongue if there's any pigima on the side of the knife.
Use the other two options.
That area is
almost sensitive. He was blind. He could use the other two options. He couldn't look at the Maya or the
Shabbat. That's why. Interesting. Okay. Patience was blind. Okay. Avacha Bayak and Butterfly, Bukhut Asaira, he would take a hair and pull a hair along the sharp knife, sharp part of the knife, to see if it's going to get caught. If it gets caught, that means that there's a pigima. If it doesn't get caught, it means that there's no pigima. The surah, there was also a sitting bubble. Amri, so they used to say, Bisra achla bisra lebodka. When you're shechting with a knife, So the knife is supposed to cut the flesh. Means the kone and the veshit are different consistencies. The veshit is very soft, it's like flesh. And the kone is very hard. It's
cartilage,
right. So they said to make sure that the knife is not going to rip part of the veshit, the food pipe, so you have to check on basar. It's not enough to check on a fingernail. You have to check on basar also. Well, that be lavastak butterfly belishne, like testing with your tongue, or testing with your finger instead of testing with the fingernail. Test with the finger because it could be that begima will rip the basar. Maybe it wouldn't rip the konen, but it can rip the veshit. So you have to test bisra achla bisra lebodka. So, I didn't need any more. No.
Bisra
ochla, so therefore bisra lebotka. Since the knife is going to be cutting the basar, the knife is going to be cutting the veshet, so therefore bisra lebotka. Therefore you should be boidikit on basar. It's not enough just to be boidik on the fingernail. Amar Rapapa, so Rapapa says this is the opinion that's quoted the common practice. Tzricha bidika abisra liatufro batlas ruchsa. You have to be boidik by having your fingernail go, because you're going to shecht the kone, which is hard like cartilage, and then you're going to be shechting the veshet. So you want to make sure that if there's a pegima, it should neither rip the kone nor rip the veshet. So you have to check abisra liatufra. Tufra is the fingernail, and bisra is on the flesh. So you have to have your finger go on the smoothness of the knife, and your fingernail go, to make sure that there's no pegima that's either going to rip the flesh or rip the cartilage, and you have to check it atlas ruchsa on three sides. What are the three sides? The sharpness of the knife. You have to go like this, back and forth. Shouldn't be a pegim in one direction or the other. Then you have to check on this side. Could be that on the edge, on the sharp edge, there's no pegim, but on the side could be that there's a pegim. So when you're going to be shechting with the knife, it's not sufficient that the sharp part of the knife is not going to rip. It could be after you've already cut. But the sharp part, the pegima on the side of the knife can start ripping. And even though you've already pierced that spot, let's say here's the corner. Say my knife is already 1/3 into the corner. I'm going to go back and forth. So if you're going to have a pegima on the side of the knife, it's going to be ripping part of the corner that already was cut. That part of it is already cut. You're 1/3 or 1/4 in already. Rashi explains it doesn't matter. You've got to make an additional hole in the corner, additional hole in the veshit, that can still make it a treifa. It can still make it in the veil.
There are two other options for making shechita: a blade of grass and a rock. What about the inspections of those things?
Same thing. You have to check all of it. Whatever you're going to use. That's
they have to have the same qualifications?
Yeah, it has to be
blade
very
of grass
yeah,
and a
rock?
It's
going to be very dull, though. It's not going to be as sharp as a knife. You have to make sure there are no pegimas. Whatever you're using to do the shechita, you can't have pegimas. Blade of grass is very hard to shech, but theoretically, if you have blade of grass, it's so sharp, you can shech with it. So that's what the Gemara says. Amar HaPapa, HaPapa says you have to check atlas ruchs on three sides, on the sharp side, on the right side, on the side, and on the left side, on the side. You have to check both on the fingernail, the tufra, as well as on the both. Amar Le Ravina Le Rabashi. So Ravina asked Ravashi, Om Alon Rav Sama Brei the Rav Misharsha Mishmach, somebody told us in your name, the Amrit Le Mishmei the Rav, that you told him, in the name of Rav, again, he never met him, he never met the Ravashi, never met Rav, because the day the Rav died, that's where Ravashi was born, so they never saw each other, but he said over in the name of Rav, Tzricha B'dika Abis Rav Tufrat Las Ruchs, is that correct? What they said in your name, that you said in the name of Rav, that you need bedika on the sharp side, on the two sides, on the side, and both on the fingernail and the flesh. So he said it's not true. They didn't say it over correctly. Part of it is not true. What part is not true? So there are two versions of the Gemara. Amalei, so Ravashi answers, no, Abdis Rav Tufra Amri, that I did say, you have to do the bedika sasak in both on the fingernail and on the flesh. However, Atlas Ruchsa Loy Amri, that part I never said. But you have to check on the sharp side, on the sharp edge, and on the right side, and on the left side, then I never said. In other words, you only have to check on the sharp edge. There's no need to check on the sides. Once you've already cut, what does it bother me if it's going to be a pegim on the side, it's going to rip part of the veshit that already was cut? What does it bother me? So Shailen did. What is going to discuss it? Whether that poses a problem. So the first version is that he says not 100% accurate. I say the name of Rava. You have to be bitek on the fingernail and on the flesh, but you don't have to check on all three sides enough if you check on the sharp edge. And he could the army another version has it that he said differently. I said over the name of Rava. Yeah, I said it in my own name. I didn't say it in the name of Rava, but the whole din is accurate. I said the whole din, but not in the name of Rava. Then the Gemara tells the story. Rabina Ravacha Probably 12. You should be biting in both directions. You should bite in both directions. There may be a pigment that only catches in one direction. If you're going to use a knife normally, maluchume, if you're going to fiddle back and forth, you have to make sure there's no pigment not in this direction, not in that direction. Probably 12. They shecht, let's say, by the chickens. If they're going to keep on making bedikas every time, the whole system is going to be slowed down terribly. It cost them a fortune every time they rent the slowdowns. So they shecht, let's say, 10, 20 in a row. First they make a bedika on the knife, then they shecht 10 and 20. Then make a bedika afterwards. If it turns out that there's a pegimah, so then they're going to ask all the 10 and 20. They're going to be a big hefset. So they run that risk because they don't want to check each and every time, because then it's going to be so slow, it's going to cost 10 times as much for the shrika. It cost them a fortune to rent the slaughterhouse. So usually, shech 10 or 20, and then they make the big afterwards, and if it turns out that there's a pegima, they ask the mafreya everything.
Is there a special
potek
that looks at
these tacos,
or the
shochet
himself
does it? I think usually the
shochet
himself does. I
think
so.
Is the
Nigel Gervidov? What?
Is the
Nigel Gervidov? Yeah, let's say a kosher restaurant owner tells me that I cook the food and it's kosher. Sure, is Nigel Gervidov. He's charging money for this. If he would admit that it's treif, he can't charge any money. Nigel has possible aiders when it comes to dinner moments, when you need two kosher aiders. When I rech adam misurin, even if it is on a ger bedov, this is quotes the Yerushalmi that the din of a rech adam misurin is derived from the pasuk that a woman counts bedikas for safra lo liatzma. The Gemara says she's certainly a ger bedov. She wants to be with her husband. The husband is allowed to believe her. A rech adam misurin, even on a ger bedov, is also an emor. It's always good. Yeah. So the Gemara says it's not 100% accurate. Either he didn't say Mishmei Derava, or he did say Mishmei Derava, but he didn't say Atlas Ruchsa. He only said a Bismil Atuf. So now the Gemara tells the story. Ravina Ravach made the Rava to Amorim. Habiyasvi Kamei Deravashi. And they brought a Sakin. Isis Sakin Kamei Deravashi Lubotka. The local, the Shechet has to bring the knife to the local rabbi, Mishim Kodosh Ochacham, that he should check it. So Rav Ashi didn't want to be bodikid himself. So he asked one of the two students, you'll be bodikid tonight. So how is he bodikid? Vodka, tufra, vabisra, atlas ruchsa. He did the way we just recommended. All the 12 times. On the sharp edge, on the right side, on the left side, on the fingernail, and on the flesh. And in both directions, he did the whole thing. So Rav Ashi said, yeyasha. He did it, that's the way he's supposed to do it. That's the correct way to do it. Rav Kana, also Rav Kana holds like that also. And other Amorim disagree. Rav Yema disagrees, and he holds like one opinion that was mentioned before. Atufa, Rav Yipsra, Tzricha. Yes, you have to check. You have to be both in both directions on the fingernail, the tufra, and on the flesh. Also, why? Because it's going to be shechting a kana and a veshet. And the kana is going to be cartilage, and the veshet is going to be flesh. You have to check on both. But you don't need a plus ruchsa or a tzvicha. Why don't you need a plus ruchsa? So Rashi explains based on the next Hemshech of the Gemara. The topic we're discussing is if you check the sharp edge of the knife, there's no pegima. So what are you afraid of? Maybe there's a pegima on the side. But by the time the knife is going to start the side, the pegima on the side is going to start ripping into the veshet, you already cut that part. You already passed that. You're already a 16th of an inch after that of it. So what does it bother me that it's going to make a nekev and a veshet, that part of the veshet is already nechtach. So the Gemara says, well, there's a question. When you have a veshet or you have a kana, so it's very tight. You start to cut it, so it widens out. It's like a V. It's not going to be straight. Once you start to cut into it, so it's going to be a gap. So the Gemara says, are you really concerned that if there's no pegima on the sharp edge, there's only pegima on the side, you're really concerned it's going to rip a hole in the veshet, on the part that already was nechtach, but it already widens out a little bit. So if it widens out, the pegima is not going to be able to rip anything. It has to widen out. It's not going to be that it's going to be tight like it was before you started to shed. So the Gemara says, Miloy Omer Abzeret, he holds you don't need atlas ruchzera. Rav Kana, Rav Yema holds you don't have to check on all three sides. Just check on the sharp side. Why? Nilo amar abzera amar Shmuel. Don't we have a din in the name of Shmuel? What's the din? Let's say I have a knife, and instead of shefting by placing pressure, I hold the knife over the fire, and it's burning hot, and I hold the knife on top of the neck of the animal, no pressure placed at all, but it burns through the siman. That's no good. You have to cut. It has to accomplish chita by cutting. So the question is, what if you have a burning hot knife and you use the knife to fiddle back and forth and you cut? So do you have to be concerned, since the knife is burning hot, maybe it burned through the cut in the veshet? Who says that you succeeded in cutting the cut in the veshet with the pressure? Maybe it burned them. So he quotes in the name of Shmuel, Libin Sakin Shochat Bo. If you made a knife burning hot, legal things burning hot, and you shechted, so Shmuel said, "Why is it shechitosek sheir? Why don't you have to be concerned? Maybe it burnt through the siman." No, because chidu the kodem lelibuna, because it's a very sharp knife, so the cut, it will accomplish to cut the cut in the veshet before it's going to burn. Okay, so that was Shmuel's din. And now, in the later generation, the estakash and Shmuel. Fine, chidu the kodem lelibuna. You just hold the knife on the cut in the veshet, just hold it without fiddling back and forth, that's going to burn through. That's not good. But if he takes the knife and he starts fiddling quickly, so Shmuel says, you don't have to worry. Chidu the kod l'libun. It'll cut first, and then it'll only burn later on. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if it's going to burn later on, so why not be concerned it's going to burn, the sides of the knife will burn a hole in the veshet after you already cut one third through. And that'll be an akubas aveshet, even though it's going to burn a hole in that part of the aveshet that already was geshochten. So the Gemara says, shouldn't that be a problem? Kasha alone, and we in the later, the next generation, this is Rav Zera quotes in the name of Shmuel. So we were bothered with Shmuel's din, v'ikatz dotim. Aren't you concerned about the fact that burning hot knife can burn a hole in the aveshet after you already cut into the aveshet? The Amrinon, and we explain to answer, to defend what Shmuel said, once you start cutting, before you start cutting the cultivation, it's very tight. Once you start cutting, so it's going to be like a V, an opening. It's not going to be so tight anymore. So if you're holding the knife straight, and you keep on fiddling back and forth quickly, so it's going to cut before it's going to burn, so the sides of the knife will not succeed in burning any holes in the nation. So just like over there, we're assuming, once you start cutting into the corner of the nation, it's gonna be like a V. Hanami, why don't we say the same over here? Why don't you say over here also? You don't have to be concerned if there is the begim on the sharp side and the only begim on the side, on the right side and the left side. So what are you concerned is gonna rip a hole in the nation? It's gonna be in the Pubis Avesha. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna be so tight. Once you start to cut, it's not that the piece in the neck, the innovation is still tight like it was in the beginning. It's going to be like a V. It's not going to rip anything. And for the Gemara, no. That's the Machloikis. So that's the Machloikis, Rav. The last one, what was it, Rav Yemer? Rav Yemer was the last one. He says, you don't have to check Atlas Ruchsa. So I don't have to worry about the Begim on the sides. Just like we said, according to Shmuel, you have to worry about the burning hot side's going to burn a hole in the veshet and make an akubas aveshet. You have to worry about the begimas on the side. And we don't follow that opinion. We say, no, that's about burning. You don't have to worry. But about begimas, you do have to worry. So So that's the machlekes of mitzias. So shaila mitzias, do you have to be concerned about pegimus on the side? Do you have the right to assume that it's going to be mirvach rovach sufficiently that the side of the knife is not going to burn a hole in the ridge? So we are makbid. We check our plus ruchsa on all three sides. Yeah, but heat is not a problem. To burn the sumar, you have to cut by placing pressure. Right. By shchita, for sure not. By ritzias evidivri, if an evidivri doesn't want to go free after the 6 years are up, so it says v'ratz adarim esos done by marzeya. So the Gemara says you have to make the hole in the hard part and the cartilage part, not in the soft part. You have to make the hole by placing pressure. If you put a chemical on, then it's going to make a hole burn through. So that's not considered ritzia. So we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that was a big machlekes in Europe. Can you perform bris milo without using pressure? Let's say you'll use a chemical to burn off the or ha'orla on the side of the eva ha'orla. Is that acceptable or not? So that's if you have a hemophiliac baby has hemophilia, and you can't cut. If you're going to cut, he's going to bleed to death. So the only way it's possible to perform a bismillah is by using laser beams, and that's not based on pressure. That's going to burn it out. So that they do that now, but they don't say a bracha. If you do such a bismillah, you don't say a bracha, because that's a big machlekes on your yoytze. But by shchit, the halacha says that you have to place pressure. By ritzi, abedevi, the Gemara says, beferish, you have to cut by placing pressure. By bismillah, the Gemara never discusses it. So now the Gemara says that this issue of pegimus and the sakin, that you shouldn't rip the kana deveshit as you shechting, the issue of pegimus appears in other areas of halacha also. Amar Avuna bar Rav Kiteinu, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, he says in the name of Rish Lakish, Sholosh pegimus, saying there are three areas of halacha where there's a din of pegima, and all three it's the same shear. If the fingernail gets caught, then it's called the pegima. What are the three areas? One is pegimas etzem, the korban pesach. There's a pasuk in Chumash, korban pesach. There's so many different korbanos. Oilo, shlamim, nachatos, and enoshim, animals, leaving out all the menachos. So many different animals. Special din in korban pesach, the etzma loisej burbo. Korban pesach is supposed to be the korban representing cheirus, but Israel went free. So poor people can't afford to buy a big steak and leave over half the steak. A poor person is going to buy meat and he's going to chew up all the chicken bones. He's going to chew everything. He's not going to leave anything over at all. So he may even chew into the bone to eat the marrow inside. So the din is by korban pesach. We all have to act as if we're millionaires, as if we're gvirim. We're not going to chew the marrow inside, even if it's a soft bone. And chewing the bone, I'll swallow the whole bone. I'll chew the bone, I'll swallow the whole bone. So the Gemara says, you don't say, Esedech alay sese. Let's say you have 10 shutfim, and the Gemara says, on a normal korban pesach, you used to have at least 10 shutfim. Let's say you have 10 shutfim, and one of them takes a long time till he says, I've got it. And the other 9 already finished eating. And they ate up the whole korban pesach, he's left with nothing. The 10th one, till the time he gets to eat the korban pesach, he's left with nothing. So he has to eat the Korban Pesach. He can't go to the next of the neighbor because you have to be memun on the Korban Pesach and Erev Pesach before the Shechtet. He's left with nothing. What's he going to do? So the Gemara says, let him chew some. Maybe we should allow him to chew some of the bones, a soft bone. The Gemara says, no, you don't say Esedech Aloises. Usually say Esedech Aloises if it's a Yepshel Kaim Shneim. The only way for him, they ate up all the flesh, and he can't eat from the next on neighbors because of Shalom Zuyah. He really should have said, Esedech Alasese. He should permit him to chew up the bones and swallow the marrow inside. Gemara says, no. Gemara says, the klal is by Beis HaMikdosh, Ein Esedech Alasese Shabbat Mikdosh. It's not Dech. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole suggestion. Why not? Why is Ein Esedech Alasese in Beis HaMikdosh? Eating the Korban Pesach is not in the Beis HaMikdosh. It's in Yerushalayim, but it's a Korban. Why not? So he quotes the Ramban Chumash. Says that all of the mitzvahs flow from Avos Hashem, and all the mitzvahs stem from Yiras Hashem. We have fear of God, and we don't want to violate His others. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we go out of our way to do the mitzvahs. The Ramban writes on the pasuk Zocha B'Shomer, in pasuk in Parshas Yisro, Zocha Shomer Shabbos L'Kachshoi. So the Gemara says there's a discrepancy between the text of the Aseret HaDibros as it appears in Parshas Yisro, as it appears in Parshas Chanan. And the Gemara is that's a zechon on this contradiction. How come one place says Zach and one place says Shama? So the Ramban says there's so many other discrepancies, but the Gemara only working on Zach and Shama. So he says, Ramban writes on Parshas Yisro, whenever the Chumash quotes what Paro said, what Yosef said, what Yaakov Avinu said, what someone said, it's not necessarily a verbatim quotation. It's a gist of what they said. So when it says in the Chumash what was written in Aseret HaDibros, it's not necessarily 100% accurate, neither text. It could be it was written a third text. It could be it didn't say what it says in Yisro. It could be it didn't say what it says in Vaeschana. It gives you the gist of what it says. So the fact that there are slight discrepancies is not a problem. The second luchas were exactly the same as the first. Not that the text was different. The luchas rishonis and the luchas shnis. In the Chumash, it's written differently. But the text was exactly the same as the first set of luchas. And the Chumash is lav dafke.
I thought the luchas were different.
No, the Gemara assumes they're not. The way it's written, the Chumash is different. The Gemara assumes the text was
the luchas,
the same.
The first set of luchas was far more explicit than
that had Torah spelled
back. Yeah, that's the Beis HaLevi has a lot of Midrashim, and he has Zohar as well, that in addition to the Aseret HaDibros, Kol HaTorah Kula was engraved also. And the second set of Luchas, it only had the text of the Luchas, but the text of the Luchas, Aseret HaDibros was exactly the same the first time and the second time. So the Ramban says the Gemara never brought up the issue of all the other discrepancies, because it could be that neither text that appears in the Chumash is actually what it said on the Luchas. But here there's a major discrepancy. Zohar v'Shamar, Zohar is an essay and Shamar is a lois essay. So which was it? He'd say the Chumash is not giving you the direct quotation, he's giving you the gist of what it said. So what's the gist? Was the gist of that mitzvah of Shabbos, was it a mitzvah essay? Was it a mitzvah lois essay? So the Gemara says, no, Zohar v'Shamar, but they berech adem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed that essay. Which one was written is a good question. The Gemara never says. The Gemara says, Zohar v'Shamar were both proclaimed at the same time. So when the Ramban writes that Zohar and Shomer is a major discrepancy, because what was the gist of what was written on Aseret HaDibros? One is an essay, one is a lois essay. So the Ramban elaborates a little bit. He says they're so different. All the 248 mitzvahs essay are a way to demonstrate your love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It stems from Avos Hashem. And the 365 lois essay, that's a demonstration of Yiras Hashem. We don't want to violate God's Averis. We don't want to violate the Averis. So we're not allowed to. Out of Yiras Hashem, we don't do Averis. And then the Ramban adds on, and because Avos Hashem is higher Madrega than Yiras Hashem, that's why we have a din that Esed Derech Eloi says. The Ramban throws that in for good measure. He's explaining why the Gemara is only worried about Zohar v'Shamar discrepancy. The others don't bother us because the text that appears in the Chumash is just giving us the gist of what it says. But here it's a steer in what the gist was. Was it a Mitzvah Esed? Was it a Mitzvah Lo Esed? So if Yosef Engel picks up on that Ramban, and he writes, maybe that explains why the din is that in Beis HaMikdash, Ein Esed Dechol Esesei Sheba Mikdash. All the other, there were 10 shutrim who brought one Korban Pesach together. 9 already finished eating, and the 10th guy is slow till he corrects his eyes, till he says, I've got to take him a longer time. It's time for him to eat the Korban Pesach. There's nothing left. They already ate everything up. So the Gemara says, Matush Kambremi, you should say Esed Dechol Esesei Etzim Sheba Mayach. The mayach shebeetzim, the marrow inside the bone is dina kibasa, has a din like basa. When you have noisa, you have to burn it. So the Gemara says you have to burn the bones that have marrow inside, because the marrow inside is dina kibasa. If you only have bones that have no marrow, there's no fear to burn it the next morning. The din of tzarekas noisa only applies to basa that's noisa. Atzomas don't become noisa. The Gemara says etzim sheesh ba mayach, the mayach is dina kibasa. So the Gemara says why not say esed dechol esed? The Gemara says no. Ein Esed Dechol Eses is Sheba Migdash. Yosef Engel says, why? Because it's a special din. Migdashi Tira'u. What does that mean, Migdashi Tira'u? You should fear the Beis HaMikdash. What do you fear? You're afraid the building's going to collapse on you. What do you mean? So the Gemara explains in the beginning of Yivam, Mislo Min HaMikdash Ata Misyari, Mishe Shikin Shmo Al HaMikdash. You should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You always have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Hashem Lekech HaTira is all over in the world, wherever you are. That means that when one is in the Beis HaMikdash, one should emphasize Yiras Hashem. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we emphasize Avos Hashem as being more important than Yiras Hashem. And that's where the Ramban explains that we have a rule It's a decha lo seset. But in Beis HaMikdash, because you have a mitzvah, umigdashi tiro, it doesn't mean you fear the Beis HaMikdash. It means you should fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You always have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means you should emphasize Yiras Hashem over Avos Hashem. So Rabbi Yosef Eichner says, maybe that's the reason why ein es a decha lo seset sheba migdash, and the Beis HaMikdash, you know. So the Gemara says there's an iser etzvah seishber bo. You're not allowed. If you did break a bone, you didn't pass over the whole korban pesach. If you did break a bone, it's a kadosh, and then you can suction out, you can get the marrow, and you can be etzed the mitzvah. But you're not allowed to break a bone. So let's say a person takes a knife and he starts to cut the bone. Then he realizes, hey, someone screams, don't cut the bone. So how deep into the bone does he have to cut to violate the din of etzvah seishber bo? Does he have to cut the bone in half in order to violate the iser? So the Gemara says no. You make just a pegima, that if you put your fingernail on the bone, it'll get caught in the crack. You started to cut it, so you have a little indentation, kidei chagiras atziporet, just the same as by the sakna shel shechita. If the fingernail gets caught, that's a pegima in the sakin. So if the fingernail gets caught by the etzah, by the korban pesach, kidei chagiras atziporet, you have already violated the law of etzah, and you deserve malchus. So that's, he says there are three dinim. Shalosh pegimas, and there are three dinim that depend on a pegima, and the shear is the same. Chagiras atzman. So the first din is etzem korban pesach. Next is pegimas ozen dibukor, and pegimas mum bekotchim is basically the same. The Mishnah is in Bchoris. In the middle of Bchoris, they have a list of all of the mumim. There's a din of if the korban has a mum, you're not allowed to be makrevit. But there's a mum kavua, mum ayver. If it has a mum kavua, then you can be poida. If it has a mum oiver, has a mum that's going to heal by itself, you can't be poida, but you can't be makrev the korban right now. If it'll be makrev, not a good puzzle. So the Mishnah has, if there's a tear in the lips or a tear in the ear, it's not going to heal by itself. Even though if you do surgery, it will heal. But right now it's a mum kavua. It's not going to get better by itself. So a mum kavua, you can even be poida the beima yetzel lechul. So the Gemara says that second and the third dinim of pegima are really the same. One is pegimas ozen v'bechor. Bechor be'emet Torah only applies if it's a male animal. If the first calf that's born is female, so it does not produce as bechor be'emet Torah. So when the Braisa, when Shlokish says pegimas ozen v'bechor, is talking about a male animal that has a mum. Then it says pegimas mum v'kotchim. Right, she says even goes on in a caver, a female. Females have different, slightly different organs, major different organs from the male. So sometimes the mum consists of a pegima in the female organ. So the shear is the same, whether it's in a male korban and it's a pegima on the lips or on the ear, or it's a female korban and the pegima is on the female organs, the shear is the same. So Rish Lakish says there are three dinim of pegima. He didn't finish his statement. They all depend on chagiras atziporin, the fingernail getting caught. Abchiz de hazan a fourth one. Abchiz de amad. There's a fourth one. Abchigim asakin is the same thing. If the fingernail will get caught, frag the gemara. We all know chulin. We all know adav gemara that it depends on chagiras atziporin. So why did the first one? Why did Rish Lakish only mention the pegima setzem in the korban pesach, the pegima of mumim in the bechor in the korbanos? Why didn't he say the same shir pegima chagiras atzipor with the second? So the Gemara be'idoch, how come the first one didn't mention it? B'chulan lo kamar, he's only talking about korbanos. So he talked about korban pesach, and talked about male korbanos, female korbanos. But it's talking, they all agree. There's no machlokes over here. There are four dinim, all of mumim by the korbanos that depend on a tear, on a pegima. So the shir pegima is chagiras atzipor, and the knife for shechita and the korban pesach, it's all the same din.
But you have to check the korban also, which also is a problem with the pegima and knife.
Right. Oh, you mean I should call that kachin?
Mm-hmm.
I should call that kachin. Well, the shechita that needs is the same as by chulin. No, there are differences between, we learned about it, there is a difference between shechita's kachin and shechita's chulin. The shechita's kachin needs kavanah. If I throw a knife to hit a target, and a chicken happens to walk by and it did a perfect shechita, so that's good by chulin, but it's not good by kachin. By kachin, you have to intend for shechita, you have to know that it's a korban. Let's say I didn't realize I was a korban. I didn't realize that. I know I'm doing Shechita. So it's also called Mesasik B'Kotchim. So there is a difference between Shechita's Kotchim is one of the Dalad Avodas Adam. Shechita Kabbalah Halacha Zvika. Shechita is different. But the Maisa Shechita, the Dinim, are the same. It's the same as Shechita's Kovah. So the first Madomer, he's only listing off Kotchim, he's not listing off Kovah. But the Din is the same. It doesn't make a difference. But the Lester, yes, he's listing, not listing. The Dinim are all the same. The Kulam Nigmar says all the three, four, Pigimus and Kadei, Pigimus HaMizbeach, has the same din of Pigimus HaMizbeach. What's that? That's a din. The Mizbeach has to be Rabua. It says in Chumash, the Mizbeach has to be a square. It has to be a minimum of a square of Amo Alamo. In the Bayesheni, in Second Beis HaMikdosh, the floor was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. Then it went up an Amma, I think, and then it went in an Amma. Then it went up like this, so five Ammas or so, then it went in. So each stage has to be a square. It has to be a perfect square. Tefillin also have to be a perfect square. What does it mean, a perfect square? I told all of the Maisa once after Shachris, I was davening in Broyers years ago, I used to daven Shachris in Broyers, so a dentist came over to me, and he asks me whether he shows me his Shol Rosh, and he asks me, is it Ravua? Is it square? So I took out a piece of paper from my pocket and a pen, and I measured how long it was this way, then it went this way. I said, yeah, it's Ravua. So he says, it's not. He can tell with his eyes it's not, because he's so used to dealing with tiny little fillings in the teeth. By looking at it right away, it rubs him the wrong way. He knows that his tefillin are not square. So I said, but to a layman like me, it is square. If you're going to use a precision instrument to measure whether something is square, nothing is going to be square. It's possible, nothing. The Efshev Tzamse, nothing is going to be square. So it depends on the normal eyesight. He's so used to making tiny little fillings, his eyes became like precision in an instant. But I told him, I don't think it depends on your eyes. It depends on the normal person look. So the din is that the tefillin have to be square and the mizbeach has to be square. So if you have a pigima in the mizbeach, so it's not considered square. It has to go straight like this. There's an indentation in the side of the tefillin, indentation in the side of the mizbeach, so that's going to pass. So the Gemara says, how much of a pigima passels? The Gemara, pigima ha-mizbeach, kadei shetach kibot tziporin, the same thing. If the fingernail will get caught, so that's a passel the son of mizbeach. That's impossible. The Gemara is going to, that's impossible. What do you mean? You're going to have a square on the mizbeach, and even a fingernail can't get caught. The Gemara says, Mesvei, that's impossible. Kama, pigimus ha-mizbeach, how much has to be nifkam, that it should passel? So there's a machlokes ha-tanan, but nobody says chagiras ha-tziporet. The first tanan says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, you have a tefach.
My goodness.
A big hole. A big hole in the mizbeach is missing. And Rabbi Loz ben Yankiv, you have a kazayis. Okay, kazayis is much smaller. But it's not, either way, it's not chagiras ha-tziporet. So it's the total contradiction. How can he put together all of these dinim with pegimus? And he says everything is chagiras ha-tziporet. The Gemara says, le-kasha, ho-besidu ho-be-avno. The pasuk says, "Avanim shleim is tivnas ha-mizbeach." You have to use when they made the mizbeach and the baisheni. How did they do it? So they used cement, but you have to use avanim. So they put up, let's say, an amatol, and they put a box on the ground that was 32 amas by 32 amas. They filled it up with a lot of little pebbles. The pebbles had to be smooth on the outside. If you had a chagira satziporin on a pebble, that pebble was bust. So they filled it up with a lot of pebbles, and then there was no more room for pebbles, and then they would pour cement. So if the pebble has a little bit chagiras ha-tziporin and a tiny pebble, that pebble is not called an Eben Shlema. So it's Avanim Shlema is Tivnas HaMizbeach. But then when they poured in the cement, so that chagiras ha-tziporin doesn't bother me over there. The din of chagiras ha-tziporin is a chisron and Avanim Shlema. It has to be Shlemas in the Eben. So that's the small pebbles. But if in the cement there's something missing, and then they put a piece of wood, it should be 5 amas tall, and it should be indented. Instead of being 32 by 32, it's going to be 30 by 30, indented an amma here. So it's going to be 30 by 30. So again, they filled it up with pebbles, all the way up to the top of the 5 amas, whatever. Then they poured in the cement. So again, if the pebbles that they use had to be avanim shleimos, shouldn't be even a chagiras ha-tziporin, shouldn't be a pegim at all. Masheni came the sid, the cement that they put in, the loose cement that they put in, if at the end of the day it's going to be missing either a tefach or it's going to be missing a kazayas, so then it's going to be a psul. The Mishnah Berurah talks about, the Gemara never says, what's the shear ravua for tefillin, ribua for the tefillin. What's the shear ribua for the tefillin? So he thinks that it's not chagiras atziporin. He doesn't think. But so you have a shel rosh, has four compartments. So you go on the top, it has to be ravua, the different opinions. So where mama has to be ravua, on the top of the shel rosh, it has to be a square. Then when the bias touches the floor, has to be ravua there. Sometimes you can have a ravua on the top, but it's not ravua when it comes down to the floor. It has to be ravua there. Then it has to be ravua the tefiras. It has to be ravua the whole bayis. So you need four things that have to be ravua. The floor, the frame of the bayis on the bottom, the tefiras has to be ravua, and the bottom of the bayis has to be ravua, and the top of the bayis. Four things have to be ravua. So the Mishnah Berurah assumes in the Bir Halacha, Dabar Pashut, that Chagiris HaTziporim wouldn't pass on. You have a Shal Rosh, you have the four compartments. Of course your fingernail is going to get caught over there. In between the first and the second compartment. There's a pause over there. So he thinks you have to carry over this shear, of a Tefach or a Kazayas. But the whole fill-in is not. So he says, no, you have to prorate it. If you have a Mizbeach, the Mizbeach on the floor was 32 by 32, then it was 30 by 30, then on top of the Mizbeach was 28 by 28. So on top of the Mizbeach is 28 by 28. If you're missing a Kazayis or a Tefach, what's the ratio over there? 28 Amos, that's very big. 28 Amos, and you're missing a Tefach, and missing a Kazayis. What's the ratio? So if your Tefillin is missing so much that the ratio would correspond to the Mizbeach, then he said, then it's not called Ravua. It's a Psul in the Ribua. It's hard to tell. Usually the corners of the tefillin get rubbed out. From usually the Shalyad, we have the meaning that we cover over the Shalyad. Why? Because the Levush said, the Pasuk is, V'hoi l'chalios al yadcha. Amar says, l'chalios v'lo l'achem lios. It should be l'chalios. So the Levush is quoted by the Magen Avraham. They always quote the Levush. The Levush says you have to cover over the tefillin because so they all ask, it's against the Gemara Beferish. The Gemara says in Megillah, the Mishnah says in Megillah, if you put your tefillin shoyat on top of the base unkeli shalom, put it on top of your sleeve, you're not yotze the mitzvah, because it's a din of chatzitza. So how do you know there's a din of chatzitza? Because it says, l'cholios v'lo l'achem lios. It shouldn't be on top of the sleeve. But the Gemara says, is it to be taken literally? Do you really have to cover up the shalyah? The Gemara says, no, it's not to be taken literally. It just means that there's a psul of chatzit. If you put the tefillah shalyah on top of the shirt sleeve, then it's possible. Some Rishonim hold that it's only a din in shalyah. Shalrosh, there's no din. Many Rishonim hold there's no din of chatzitza by shalrosh. We're machmer on that. Let's say a person is bald, and he's embarrassed to walk with his bald head. So he goes with the toupee. Then he's going to put the tefillin shel rosh on top of the toupee. So that's a big machleka. So half of the Rishonim say it's okay. The whole din of chatzitz is only din of shel yatz, not a din of shel rosh. And the Mishnah Berurah shirais that you shouldn't rely on that. It's a real din deraisa. It should be a machma for the other opinion that chatzitz is possible both in shel yatz and shel rosh. So mikra din, it really doesn't make any sense that everybody's choshish with the levush. The levush has a lot of things. The levush has so many things that are difficult, always against the Gemaras. That's the famous story with that Shagazaria took his rabbinical position in Metz, in France. He was ready an old man. So they didn't want to hire him. So he said, no, I guarantee you I'll be here for 20 years, something like that. And then after 20 years, he went to take out a sefer, and the whole bookcase fell down on top of him, and he was old and frail. And they started to take all the svarim and take it off of him and to take him out. He said, Shabbat Chinese health and he's going to die. That all of these swarm, they always disagreed. The Rambam and the Rashba and the Shulchan Aruch, they always disagreed. So they all jumped on him now. They all ganged up on him and jumped on him. And he asked them all mechila because he had insulted them so much. They were all mechil him except for the Lelush. Because he made such fun of the Lelush. The Lelush always has things that are mamish against the Gemaras. The Shach and Yermidei always calls the Lelush and he usually shows that it's not correct. It is also Shvera, it is a Shvera Lelush. But that's the minigodim. Everybody pulls the sleeve to cover over the shayat. So when you cover over your shayat, it's going to rub out the four corners. It's not going to be ravua. The corners are going to be rounded. They're not going to be sharp. They said, I remember Rabbi Lerner from YU. Rabbi Lerner used to teach, Yosef Lerner used to teach in IBC years ago. So as a child, he was brought up in Bnei Brak. They said the Chazon Ish would see someone in davening, he would see that his tefillin, shal rosh or shal yad, the corner wasn't sharp. So he would call him over after the davening, he would take off his tefillin, he would shave off the edge and make it into a sharp point, and then he would paint it again for you. You know, that if it's rounded in the corners, it's not ravua, it has to be sharp. So on the shal yad, a lot of times, they give you a tefillin shal yad with a plastic cover, with a cardboard cover to cover it over. So the Gemara says if you have a bias shel tefillin, shein royas avir, let's say you have tefillin, beautiful tefillin, but you made them gold-coated. You coated it with gold, and gold is attached to it. So the Gemara says it's possible because you have bias achitza, shein royas avir. You're not allowed to have something stuck on, let's say instead of having four parshas, you have five. You put in your bar mitzvah parsha. Put in something that you like, Bereshis Baruch Hakim, you stick in a fifth parsha on the outside. So the Gemara says that Vayis Chitzin, Shenereus Avir, is possible. So that's a big machlekes in the recent Achrona from 100 years ago, when they started making these, they didn't have plastic covers, then they had cardboard covers that should sit snugly on top of the Shalyad to protect the four corners. It shouldn't get rubbed out by the shirt sleeve or by the jacket sleeve. So somehow that's possible. So you're not allowed to have it for the cover. You're not allowed to have a cover, so it's going to ruin the film. So as I said, you should be careful at least when you say the bracha. When you tighten it, you should put on the tefillin and tighten it and say the bracha. And then after you put on the shalosh, then you can put on the cover. But at least you should be machma when you say the bracha. And others on mekel, you can even have the cardboard cover on at the time you say the bracha and you tighten it because it's not really attached. It's a little bit loose and you can pull the whole thing off. The whole thing will come off. Means if I coated the bias shalyad or shalosh, if I coated it with gold that's attached to the bias, but it's not attached, just sitting snugly on top. So there are different opinions about it. So that's a shayla. If you're going to have tefillin, it has to be ravua. It has to be a ravua. So not only ravua is a problem if one of the four corners is roughed out. Or if there's a person bumps with his tefillin, bumps into the wall or something, so sometimes there'll be a little crack in the middle, so that can sometimes pass a little also. It won't be ravua. Just like the Avnei HaMizbeach, the Mizbeach has to be ravua. And if it's chipped enough, then it won't be ravua. It'll be possible. So there's such a din carries over to tefillin as well. The Mishnah tells a story in the Mishnah in Sukkah, that during the period of Vaishena, they had a lot of trouble from the Tzedukim. They didn't follow anything from the Torah Shavuot. So Nisach HaMayim doesn't say anywhere Chumash. Nisach HaMayim is only Torah Shavuot. So Avraham Moshe B'Sinai, or other Tanaim, they're not from Sukkim, but it's not Beferish in the Chumash. So there were periods of time that the Beis HaMikdash, the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash, was run by the Tzedukim. They were running the show. So the Mishnah says there was once Maisa B'Tzeduki Echad, and he was the Kohen Gadol, and he was supposed to pour the water on the Mizbech, and he was very principled. He wasn't going to pour the water on the Mizbech. So they made the whole ceremony, the whole Tararam, with the music and everything, the Shefer. They drew the water, and they gave it to him, and he wouldn't pour it on the Mizbech. He's supposed to pour it down the pipe. So he poured it on his feet. So the Mishnah says, V'rag Mu called home the Esra game. The Hamaynam was so furious at him. Why is not observing the din of Nisach Hamayim? Hamaynam was against these... because these tzedukim, you know, was with the rabban with the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they threw esrogim at him. Simple pshat. They threw esrogim at him. And also ayam nivgim moham mizbech. That day they threw so many esrogim. So some of them made a chip in the mizbech and they had to stop doing hakrabas hakabonis a couple of hours till they brought someone with plaster and they filled it in. Because if you're missing, they didn't chip the pebbles that are there, but they chipped the cement part of the mizbech. That's right. Yeah, kazayis or tefach. So they pass over the mizbech. That's what the Gemara answers. Loi kasha. When is it chagiras atziporen? The avodim have to be avodim shleimus. And then obesido in the cement part, That's a din of Ravua. It has to be Ravua. So if it's going to be missing, either Tefach is going to be missing, not Kazayas, major difference between the two. So that's not called Ravua. And the other one, if it's a Chagiras HaTziporen in the Avonim, in the Pebbles, so that's called, that's a lack of Avonim Shleimus. The two different din. One din of Ravua on the Sid, on the cement, and one din of Avonim Shleimus. So the Gemara said before that there's a din with the Rabbanon and the Pasuk Ushchat Din Mazen in Sefer Shmuel Aleph is only an Asmachta. What is an Asmachta for? With the Rabbanon, you have to show Kavod to the local Orthodox rabbi, so the Shechet should show him the Chalef before he's about to Shech. What if the Shechet didn't show this sign of respect to the rabbi? He checked the knife and he Shechts on his own. And the fight found the rabbi. So we penalize him. So he penalized him. He violated Kavod Talmid Chacham. He didn't violate anything. Once the Chacham made a takana that you have to show Kavod of the rabbi, to show him the knife, so then it's a violation of Kavod Talmid Chacham. If they wouldn't make such a takana, it wouldn't be considered a violation of Kavod Talmid Chacham. The Shad is they made such a takana. So the Gemara says on the fourth line from the top, Amar Avune, Hai Tap Chadi Abutcha. The Lord says, Sakina Kami Chacham. He didn't bring his knife to the rabbi. That he should check it, so the Gemara said, Mishamtinale. You put him in Shamta, you put him in Cherem. What is the Cherem all about? So Rashi quotes the fourth line from the top of Rashi, Yidikaimalon, as the Gemara says in Brochus, Perk Mishamesim Utelefona, Menadim Akfoid Harav. The Nidui, it's interesting, the Rambam has all the dinam of Nidu, Cherem, and Shamta in Hilchas Talmud Torah. You have to show Kovat Talmud Chachamim. And the main purpose of Cherem and Nidui Shamta, there's a machlokes of Rishonim about the two levels or three levels. Is Nidui and Cherem are clearly two different things. Cherem and Shamta, that's a machlokes of Rishonim about the three different levels. Each one is Mohammed. Nidui is the least. And then Shamta is Mohammed. And the Shal is Cherem a third one? Nidui, Cherem, Shamta? Or is it only two levels? There's a pasuk in Kohelis that says, Paris Gedi Shechen Anochash. If a person, you have fences around to protect the field from the snakes coming in and eating what's in the field. So if a person is going to break down the fence, he will be bitten by a snake. That's the push of shot in the post. So the Gemara understands it to mean, if someone is Peretz Gidron Shel Chachamim, the Chachamim made a Gzera de Rabbanon, I say Siog La Torah. So Siog is a fence. So you should make a fence around the Torah not to violate the protect people from violating an Issa deraisa. So one who will violate an Issa derabon and Poritz Geder, the Poritz Gidron Shal Chachamim who violate Aseis Yaglatar, violate Exer derabonan, should be bitten by the Chibia derabonan. They should be bitten by the rabbinical snake. Look at the rabbinical snake. Chera. They should put the guy need the Chera. So they say, Poritz Geder, Shechenon Nochosh, Nun, Ches Shin, as a Rosh Hatev is need the Cherem Shamta. That's how the Rishonim used to have such a Losh. Put a person in Cherem, so they said, we put him in Gzeres Nachash, with the Rosh Yatev, it's neither Cherem Shamta. That's on the assumption that Cherem and Shamta are two different things. The Rosh Hashanah is assuming that they're three different things. Neither Cherem and Shamta are three. Therefore, the Rosh Hashanah says Cherem and Shamta are the same thing. They're only two levels. So the Rosh Yatev is of Nachash. Neither Cherem and Shamta doesn't fit in there. So the Rambam quotes all the dinam of Nidui, Cherem and Shamta, everything, quotes everything, Nilchas Talmud Torah, as if implying that the Iker role. If a person violates a din deraisa, so sometimes you give him malka, sometimes you give him misa, okay. Sometimes he has to bring a korban, a mezid, a shogeg. And if a person violates a din derabanan, he's mevazah b'tamid chacham. Or if a person is mevazah tamid chacham, let's say he makes fun of a rabbi or something, so the cherem and the nidui is usually assumed to be like there's the makamayanshin shalai ben adin. Cherem and Nidu is a curse that the person should drop dead for being Bevasa the Rabban. It's a curse that the Gemara says Cherem is Nichnas into the Ramachivor. The same letters. Cherem is the same letters as the Gemara says. Cherem is the same letters as Ramach. It's a curse that should be Nichnas into the Ramachivor. A person should die. And if he ultimately does die, so we attribute his death to the curse that the Rabban placed upon him, and they treat him like Harugi Bezdin. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. Harugi Bezdin, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the relatives don't observe Shiva. They don't observe Abelis because Bavad Rishayim Rina. So when a person is put into Nidui, and then he dies ultimately, 30 years later, whatever, so then we attribute the death to the curse of the desert. Even though he died at the age of 100, we attribute the death to the curse of the desert, and we treat him like our Ruge Bezdin. And when they put a person in a cherem, and then he does tshuva, and then he asks them to lift the cherem and they take it off, we treat that as if they did a Tchias HaMesa. Because once they had the curse on him, we treat him like a Gavrik Dilo. And the din is he has to observe Avelus on himself. Normally, when a person dies a natural death, so the relatives observe Avelus on the here, the fellow has to observe Avelus on himself. Then if they want to, they can add on, they can excommunicate him. That's the icing on top of the cake. That's not really part of, that's not an integral part of the cherem. Today, when they talk about cherem, they always say excommunication. No one can talk to him, and you can't hire him, can't give him a job. That's not the main part of cherem. The main part of cherem is a curse he should die. And secondly, he's considered now a gavrik tivu because of the curse. And if he'll do tshuva, will have to be mata de cherem. That's like a b'china of tchias hamesa. And because he's a gavrik tivu, so he has to observe avelus on himself because he's responsible for our putting him into the status of gavrik tivu. But if the bezin chooses to, they can also add on, no one should associate with him, you shouldn't be mitzar to a minyan. But that's not really the essence of the cherem. That's
If someone would kill this person by accident, he wouldn't let it go?
I don't know. Usually when you kill a person, let's say Bez makes a Gemara Dima Misa, and then someone says, I always wanted to kill him. So now he's a Gavrik Tivu, I'll kill him now, but he's not killing him in order to fulfill a mitzvah of Skilo Svev Erech Hechenik. He's killing him because he never liked him in the first place. So the Mishnah says, you're not Chayv Misa. If you kill a person, it's a Gavrik Tivu, you're not Chayv Misa. If we go all the way that far and say that the one who was placed into Cheirim is also a Gavrik Tivu, the Ha'orban, and Erech Hechenik, I don't know. Could be.
If he does it once only, let's say if he gets the knife to the chacham one time, or
probably
does it
means,
have to be a...
No, probably means that it looks like a wise guy. Okay. He's not interested. Yeah. Not interested in being Mechaber the Rabban. It is as a problem. The Pashtus, why did the Rambam put all the laws of Nida, Cherem, Shamta in Hilchas Talmud Torah? So one gets the impression, and some write explicitly like that, was the main use of Cherem is to punish one who violates the din de Rabban, and punish one who is mevazeh tamid chacham. But then the Rambam, the Gemara says in one place that there are chof dalad dvarim, the 24 averis, shebezin shalmata minadim aleim, that the bezin puts people in cherem, puts people in nidri for that. So the Rambam collected all the Gemaras in Shas, every place in the Gemara that it says they put someone in nidri, and it adds up to 24. He has 1, 2, 3 here till number chof dalad. He lists off all the chavtal ram shebez and adam alei. And the world dinim derabon and vavasat hamikom. Then the Rambam writes a line: Koshken if he violates an aver derais, it defeats the whole purpose. Some of the Acharonim write the reason why the Rambam put it in the Hilchas Talmud Torah is because it's a din of kavod tamid chachamim. One is mevazav tamid chacham. This is a special punishment. But if he violates a din derais, how is that a kavod chaymer? That's a problem. Not everybody agrees with that Rambam. And if the Kalbachaymer, whoever violates an Issa Deraiz. Anyway, so the Gemara says over here, this Gemara is an example. One that doesn't show the Sakin, the Shechet, that didn't show the Sakin to the local Orthodox rabbi, is in violation of the Takanas Chachamim, that you should show respect to the rabbi by showing him the Sakin. So the Gemara says, Misham Tinalei, we put him in Cheir, because that's one of the Chav Dal Dvarim, should bezni, and Adam Aleim, if he's Mubaz al Tamil Chacham. Rava Omar, Rava says, Marbina
Le. The Shechita is good, right?
Huh?
The Shechita is good.
Shechita is good, yeah. But we put him in need because he's been a Vazi. Rava says, we fire him. We announce that no one should eat the flesh that he shechts because it's trait. So it sounds like it's a Machlekas. Do you fire him? He's so extreme. Or you just put him in need until he does tshuva. And yes, Mechil, and he promises he's going to show the knife to the Chochma Shai. So how far do you go? So Gemara, but hopefully Gemara suggests maybe there's no Machloikas. Kam Shinim Sa Sakin Yal Yofa. Kam Shilonim Sa Sakin Yal Yofa. He didn't show the Sakin to the Talmud Chochma. So then, and he shechted, and he's selling it. So we go and we look at the Sakin. We see the Sakin has a Pegima. So we have to announce to the public, he's not letting eat his flesh, it's in the Vela, and he can't trust him in the future either. The guy's selling you an availer. He's not trustworthy because we checked his knife and it has a big ema. So it could be that in the future he's also going to sell. But if we check the knife and insist, I think a yotze, the sakan is good. So the flesh is kosher, everything is fine. But we have to punish him. So we have to put him in neither till he'll come and do tshuva and he'll ask the bezin to remove the cheren, to remove the neither. So the Gemara suggests maybe there really isn't a machlekes between the two amarim. It depends whether nimtza sakin or yofa or not.
Is this assuming that the shoychet doesn't have Kabbalah and that he's not an expert on pegimus?
No, he is an expert on.
But in other words, covered for the rub of the ear.
Right. No, he is an expert on pegimus. But still, the made of takana.
Or that you shouldn't do your own. You should have somebody else. Is that?
I don't think so. Sometimes in slaughterhouses, they make such a takana. That one person, he may get so involved in the shechita, especially now. They shecht so many. They shecht, they have a conveyor belt with the chickens. They have shecht a few hundred chickens an hour. They shecht so quickly. So some place made a takana, someone else should do the bedikah sasak. No, but this is a separate takana. But he's only shecht one chicken. He should show the sakin to the chacham. He's an expert, but out of respect for the chachamim, he should show it to the rabbi. If they wouldn't have made such a takana, it wouldn't be a violation of the rabbi. You don't have to ask every shadow to the rabbi. If you know what the psak is, you don't have to ask the rabbi. But they made a takana, a loy plug. Out of respect for the rabbi, you always have to show them. Today, let's say, when they had the slaughterhouse over there, where was it? In Indiana. So they don't show it to the local rabbi. There is no local rabbi. So they have their own, the shochten check. The shochten check each other.
Iowa.
So first thing was, it depends. If it turns out that Sakin was good, so he deserves a punishment of Cherem, because he was Mavaz of the Rock. But if it turns out Sakino is no good, so he's Machel Trefus. So you have to announce, no one's allowed, you have to fire him, you have to announce, no one should use his flesh. He's not reliable. Then the Gemara quotes the next Amora. Ravino Amar, Echidula Nimsa Sakino Yofa. The guy was a wise guy, he shechts, and he didn't shecht the sakin, and he didn't show it to the rabbi, and it turns out that he shechted with the sakin peguma. So it's not, so Radina says, it's not sufficient that we should announce that his chickens that he has today are nevelis. On nevelis, that's not enough, he's going to go sell it to a guy. So he's not really going to lose that much. I mean, if he sells kosher chicken, sells much more. He sells nevelis chicken, sells for less. Rabina says we have to, Bezna has to punish him if Nimtze Sakino She'eno Yofi. So the punishment will be Echad Deloi Nimtze Sakino Yofi. If we check the knife afterwards and we see that he had a Degima, we have to do Memas Meslei de Parasa. We have to take Tzoya from a Behema and rub it into all the flesh, so you shouldn't even be able to sell it to a guy. We have to penalize him. Memas Meslei de Parasa, you have to push in soya, you shouldn't be able to sell it to a guy either. You have to make a penalty. Just to announce that no Jew should buy because it's nevela, you can't trust him, so then he's going to come and he's going to do tshuva, and next time we'll accept him. So you have to penalize him monetarily now. So the Gemara tells him, I say, show you, once upon a time there was a butcher, the Rav Bachinina was an older rabbi in the community, and he didn't show the knife to him. So Shamte, he put him in Cherem, Ba'avre, and he fired him. Both. Ba'achre Zabis with a treifah, and he announced no one's allowed to eat flesh from him, all of his flesh is treifah. So what happened? He was the older rabbi in the community. Ichlu, Marzutra, Ravashi, Lugabek. So two younger Talmidei Chachamim visited his community. Omalahu, so he told them what happened, and he had to fire the Sheikhet. And he had announced no one can trust him. And he asked the younger two Rabbanim, La'ainu Rabbanon, and they'll say, you should look into the matter. What do they think? Is that the correct punishment? Because the Sheikhet was a young man, the Tolu Beitafle, because he has young children. So I just ruined him. The elder rabbi just ruined the Sheikhet's Parnas. He said, you can't eat the flesh, it's all Nevela, Trefa, and you can't trust him, period. And he put him in here. So Bodke Ravashi the Sakine, so one of the two younger Rabbonim, Ravashi, checked the knife, and in Tzis Yofa, the knife was good, so everything is fine. The only thing is, it wasn't right on his part. He was Mavaza, the Rav, by not showing him. So he announced that you can't eat the flesh. only Mazutra, the two young Talmid Chachamim, Mazutra and Ravashi. So Ravashi had, and they were asked by Rav Bar Chinan, the elder rabbi who passed them, and he put him in Cherem, and he announced that he can never eat of the Mishchita. So he asked the two, the young Talmid Chacham, look into it. So one of them announced that you can eat the flesh. Only Mazutra, so the other young Talmid Chacham said, you're not afraid. How can you be mevaza the older rabbi? The older rabbi said, Shchitas in the Bela, nobody should buy, can't trust him, period. You're going against it? I'm like, no, Shlichus Sekuabdina. He asked us to look into it. Means because he needs a parnasa, because he has young children. So he meant, if we'll find that Tzadlo Hakel, so we should be mekel. So we're not violating COVID. A Rav, because the Rav fired him. The Rav told us we should look into it, see if there's any Tzad L'Hokal. There wasn't Tzad L'Hokal, because it was Nimtza Sakin Yofa. It wasn't in a way. The just saying needs a shtickle punishment, why it wasn't Mechabit the Rav. So it was enough of a punishment. That's the Gemara. Okay. Rashi on the Parsha. What's the whole Agarta from the Gemara? That when Basya Bas Paro found the baby crying, she found him crying in the basket. So she realized that he's hungry, the baby's hungry. So she tried to have some of the women nurse the baby. It's an Ishge Ganga. So Miriam was not far away to see what's going to happen. Liris, Lidea Mayasalo. So when the baby didn't want to nurse from any of the mitzvahs, the pasuk doesn't say all this, but that's what Rashi fills in from the Agarat in Gemara. So Miriam, the brother of the sister of Moshe Rabbeinu, says, Ha'elach, should I go? Because I Menekes, Min Ha'ivri Yosef, Sedek Loch HaSan Yolet. Maybe the baby does want to nurse from the Goyish and Mitzvahs, maybe he'll nurse from a Jewish mother. So he said yes. Basia Paspara said yes. So she went and she called the mother. Yocheved was nursing her own baby, and she was, the Baspara was paying money to Yocheved to nurse her own baby. Okay. She was getting paid money to nurse her own baby. So the Gemara, Rashi quotes on the Gemara, the Medrash, that Tesha also the Dabri Mashchina, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to become a Novi, such a great Novi, he's going to have Nevu with the Rabbeinu Shalom, Pe'al Dababo. So it wasn't the Kovadik for Moshe Rabbeinu that he should nurse from the Noshim HaMitzvios. Why is it not the Kovadik? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote two different versions why. Some say because the Nochrim have Midas Rois. So the Midas Rois, somehow they assume are genetic. And the Cholav, you drink Cholav from a Nochris, may have a negative effect on the soul of the baby. Others say, no, it doesn't mean because the Midas Rois go over genetically in the milk. How can it be? They say, no, because the Noshim Mitzriyos ate Macholos Asuras. If you have a non-Jewish person, you have a non-Jewish woman who has to nurse a Jewish baby, so ask her she should eat kosher food for this week or two, and then there's no problem. So the two versions in the Rishonim what the issue was. So the Ramah quotes from the Ors HaRuah, if you have a Jewish baby, not Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a Jewish mother, and the mother is not well enough to nurse her own baby, so she has to get someone else. She has to get a nachris. So you should try to avoid something. You should try to avoid having a nachris at all costs. And even if you can't, you have to get a nachris. You should try to insist that the nachris should eat kosher food the whole time that she's nursing the Jewish baby, because of these two ways of interpreting the Agadah. There was the concern that the cholah from the nachris will have a negative effect on the Jewish baby, Moshe Rabbeinu, or because the Mitzvahs were eating Macholos Asuras. So the Mefarshim asked the question, what is the Ramah quote for a normal baby? The Gemara says, Peshas and the Daber Mashchin, you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from the Nashman Mitzvahs. But a regular Jewish baby, what's the problem? So Yankel Kamenetsky is famous that he has this comment, and he has a Sefer HaChumash. Ebbes Liyankel, he has this comment in the Sefer. He says we have to raise our children in such a way that maybe they'll all be on a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not right that we should cheat our children from an opportunity of reaching such a level like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not a problem for a normal person. It's a problem for one who's going to be on a madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu. He Gemara has in the end of Kiddushin such a din. Gemara says that a mamzer she'eino yodua is mutar min haTorah. I know that this person is a mamzer. I know the mother was previously married. She never got a get and she remarried. And I'm the only one who knows. The mother never told the children anything about it. And the community doesn't know. I'm the only one who knows the whole story. So Rabbi Chana Rassman writes the whole Torah. He says, I can read a shidduch between this child and a regular child. Because the halacha is that a mamzer she'eino yodua is mutar lo b'kol. Idea samamzer is a condition in the isim. If you don't know about the fact that the person is a mamzer, so the whole din doesn't apply. Like a mashal, the ma'at davodayim, Rabbi Chana says, or lo b'chutzlot, if you have a tree, so the fruits that grow the first 3 years are also b'achil, also manot, or lo. So the din is in Eretz Yisrael, safek or lo is also. In chutzlot, safek or lo is mutter. Why safek or lo mutter? It should be safek there, I see the gomer. It's a lochal mashal mesina, there are lo is also b'chutzlot. The Gemara says, "Kach nemar halacha that orla is only aser if you have yediyah. If you don't have yediyah, so it's mutter." So the Gemara says the Amoraim would invite each other over to eat at their homes, and they would give him the orla. The guy who's eating does know. If he doesn't know, it won't hurt him, since he does know that it's orla. So for him, it's mutter, and I'm not in violation of the neiver, because as far as he's concerned, he does know, so it's mutter. So Rabbi Chanan said the same over here. He quotes a din in Yeridayim. Let's say I'm a doctor in the hospital, and I know that Pliny just died today. And I made up, I'm driving Pliny's son to a wedding tonight. We're both going to go to the wedding. So maybe it's not a smart thing. I should take him to the wedding and not tell him that his father died. He's going to be angry at me. Why don't you tell me my father died? I have to make arrangements. But strictly speaking, am I in violation of Lifnei Iver if I pick up the son and I take him to the wedding and we all dance together? So it's Adon Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, there's no Lifnei Iver. But since he doesn't have the idea, he doesn't know that the relative died, so the laws of Avelas don't begin. The Gemara talks about Shmur Kareva, Shmur Rechaika. Did I find out about the death of the relative within 30 days, or did I find out after 30 days went by? But the Kozman, there's no Shmi at all. There's not Shmur Rechaika, there's not Shmur Rechaika. No Shmur Kareva or Rechaika. You don't know about it. So there's no Isser. So the same over here by Mamzer. So in the Rabbanon, they made a din. If you have the idea that there's a suffix, let's say, Ashtuki Basufi. Shtuki, we know who the mother is, you don't know who the father is. Asufi, you don't know who either parent is. Shtuki vasufi is a sufik mamzer, mutta min haTorah, but min the Rabbanan it's also. Now I marry shtuki vasufi. Rabbi Chana says that's because there's a yediyah of the sufik. So the yasid min the Rabbanan. What's it have? Mamzer sheni yodua. The people in the community are not aware. It's not public knowledge that the person is a mamzer. And the boy and the girl also don't know that this person is a mamzer. Rabbi Chana says it's mutta lo v'pekol, I can read the shidduch. Just like I can feed you orla, because if you don't know, so as far as you're concerned, the orla is mutter. So I can let the shidduch between the mamzer and the other person. That there's no issue at all. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi had students, and they would be visiting certain communities, so he whispered to the students, single students, don't marry anybody from this family, don't marry anybody from that family. They have a lot of mamzer in the family. So the Gemara says, why didn't they announce it in public? He says, Alpidina wasn't necessary to make a public announcement because it was forgotten. It wasn't public knowledge. And the people themselves didn't realize. So why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi tell the students they shouldn't marry? So the Gemara says, because Ein Ashchino Shara El Al Mishpochas Miuchasas Shem Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's Talmidim would want to give birth to children who would be able to have Ashuras Ashchino. So if they're going to marry girl who's a mamzeres, even al pidin, it's mutter, but it's a chisorin, it's not a mishpach miyuchesis. So he told his talmidim, don't let it become public knowledge, or else it's going to be a real problem. Don't tell the public that the people are mamzer. But you, if you want to have children who will be roy to have ashuras hashchina, make sure you don't marry these people. So that's the idea over here as well. That's our Rabbi Yaike Kamenetz, he suggests. We have to raise our children in such a way that they should all have an opportunity to be as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. They should all have the opportunity to become like a peh hasid, the davar mashchino. We should all be machmer not to let the children nurse menachos, or to insist that the menachos should eat kosher food at the time. It's not just a midas chasidus for Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a midas chasidus for everyone who's raising children. We try to have the children should have the opportunity to have the maximum of everything in the world.
But okay. Sorry.
What? Okay, don't worry. What should I tell you? She doesn't know about this. What? She doesn't know about this.
I understand.
So.
Yeah, look, we tried. You know, it's, I don't see any advantage in telling her it's been,
Yep. But I'm saying, this is what I'm